I'm Umair Khan and this is the Discover New Perspectives podcast, where I share tips on living life with a new perspective in the business, lifestyle and spirituality domain, and the latest talk in town for the week. So stick around for the tips and tricks that will help you discover new perspectives to living life. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Discover New Perspectives podcast. Well, I hope you are having a great week. Mine has been pretty good. Actually, just got vaccinated. My wife and I got vaccinated with our first shot of the COVID-19 vaccination 2 days back. And this week we have been taking an off from our venture, Two Souls, One Chai. So, but you know, we are always learning. I always believe that all of us are learning all the time. And this is why I've still decided to, you know, continue and do my solo podcast. Well, before we go into today's topic, I actually wrote some poetry on Tuesday. Every Tuesday when the blog post comes out, I write something, and this week has been a poetry, and I actually wrote on perfection. Basically, I've been, you know, thinking a lot. When you try to do many things in your life, and we all have a tendency to aim for perfection, that is why I decided, you know, I went deep into the thought that there is nothing as perfection. And we will always run after attaining it, but somehow we tend to fall short of it. And I decided to pen down my thoughts, not actually pen down, I typed it out in a form of poetry. Well, for today's topic, what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the format of the podcast. We'll have a one nice segment for the podcast. You heard the intro before that. I'm just going to stick to, you know, keeping this casual. I realize when I do divide it into segments, I really need to structure on how I want it. But I want to keep a free flow. So we're going to just speak and keep the podcast to about 45 minutes with the intro and outro in place. Well, guys, you know, today's topic that I am planning to speak about is learning to tune out the world's distraction. You know, today the ability to concentrate is often hard to come by. Advances in technology have made many things easier, but they have made trying to focus much, much harder. So that is what I am speaking about today. So you know what, let's just get started and I'll share my thoughts. If you guys have something to add on, you know, you can always reach out to me, or at the end of the podcast, I will even tell you on how you can send me your voice notes, which I can have them featured in the podcast. So back to the topic, you know, we are surrounded by non-stop digital chatter today, like emails, our social media, text, all of that take away our attention. And it seems you're finding the temptation increasingly difficult to resist. And what's the aftermath of all this distraction? Sloppy thinking, aimless living, and dwindling human connection. You know, from what I want to achieve by speaking today is, you know, let's diagnose this issue that we're having and take back control of our life, and let's reclaim our attention in the age of this mass distraction. So there are a few things that you will actually be able to learn if you stay tuned to the whole podcast is why multitasking is like getting high, why your focus should resemble a flashlight, and how tech workers are educating their children. Just some of the things that you will learn in this episode today. So, the first thing is, you know, information overload is damaging our ability to think. These days, people disagree on many topics, often more fiercely than ever. Whether it concerns our elected representatives, pressing environmental issues, or even just celebrity spats, you know, it seems that there are very few issues that we can all unite behind. But what about the topic information? The more information we consume, the smarter we are. And the smarter we are, the better, right? I mean, surely that isn't controversial. Well, I think it's about time we reconsider, you know. Because the way I see it is information overload is damaging our ability to think. You see, these days we actually suffer from an excess of information, whether it's a stream of incoming messages, our never-ending news feed. Most of us are just caught up with irrelevant information from morning till night. Now, this is more than just a minor nuisance, as you could probably say. But when we subject our minds to this informational onslaught, we actually prevent them from working at full capacity. And there are a couple of reasons for this. One is that your mind needs nutrition, just as your body does. So when you hop from one screen to another, skimming information and never really settling down, you actually undernourish your brain. By keeping things superficial, you fail to consume anything of substance, and living on soda and popcorn, this can weaken your mind over time. The more you consume information in this manner, the more your brain starts to adapt to constant novel information. Instead of being content to settle down and engage with the task properly, your mind learns to expect hit after hit of gratifying but ultimately superficial stimulation. You name it, tweets, emails, snaps, they all rewire your brain and train it to anticipate constant interruptions. Well, you know, a lot of us might think, what's wrong? What's inherently wrong with that? After all, you can multitask, right? But, you know, interruptions don't really, they don't really go well for us. You might say, well, you know, interruptions don't really bother me, right? Well, I was actually reading an article and where I came across a professor from a college in London. He actually mentioned that, you know, he actually estimated, he even went to a stage where he estimated that multitasking can deplete our IQ by 10 points. In fact, he's argued that your cognitive skills take a sharper dip when you try to multitask than when you smoke marijuana. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to make important life decisions and business deals while high on drugs, right? So why would you try to do it while fending off a barrage of attention-snapping information? So, our brains being barged and it's seriously affecting a broad spectrum of society today. We don't realize it, but it is actually happening. And with this, you know, a divided attention harms our ability to communicate and connect. You know, guys, how many times, you know, have you come across a scene like this? You know, you're out at a nice restaurant or a cafe, and the atmosphere is electric. You look around and everybody seems to be having fun. Everybody that is apart from one group. You know, while the people at all the other tables are chatting, eating, and enjoying each other's company, one group is sitting in near total silence with their heads bent over their phones. It might be a group of teenagers. Maybe it's an entire family. Either way, they are not talking. And they are not communicating, and they're certainly not connecting. So, you know, the key point here is divided attention harms our ability to communicate and connect. You know, a scene like this might seem trivial. After all, what's the big deal about a group of people dining in silence? In itself, not much, but it does underscore a much wider issue. And, you know, many managers that you may have come across, I've seen in my career, don't know how to talk to people they're meant to oversee. Leaders often struggle to engage their followers. Couples frequently speak past each other. And children simply tune their parents out. The common denomination in all of these situations is ineffective, unrewarding communication. And you see, you know, if you actually look around, you see that technology has made it harder for us to pay attention to others. Chatting with our family members often isn't as stimulating as whatever pops up on our phones. So it can sometimes be tempting to disengage from real-world conversations. And this is particularly danger for young people whose brains haven't fully developed. And among other factors, teenagers have you know, what is called a hyperactive risk-reward system, making them more vulnerable to addiction. When young people consistently tune in to the world of technological noise, they eventually end up distractible. They're distracted. I'm not even sure what this distractible is a word, but you know, they end up being distracted and less sensitive to others' emotions. Luckily, you know, some people are starting to wise up to the unwanted side effects of information overload. And I was actually reading about this very interesting story. It's not actually a story, it's a fact. But there is this school in Silicon Valley. You know, despite its location, the school is anything but a tech hub. At the school, you know, pupils study the old-fashioned way, not with tablets and virtual reality, but with pens, paper, and conversation. And you know what's the most interesting part? 3/4 of the school's pupils have parents working for a technology company. It's as though the people who create non-stop informational noise recognize just how troublesome it can be. And, you know, it is quite a problem in our age, in our day and age today, especially with the way we are connected with technology. It seems like we are not able to move forward without it. We tend to feel handicapped, but we need to learn to take control. And managing your awareness is the first step in taking back control. You know, think back over the course of your life and try to remember all the hours you have spent staring at a screen, you know. Time spent scrolling through news feeds, watching videos, and going through various insignificant messages. If you're like most people, you probably find it difficult to pinpoint any, you know, precise memory. Most likely, all you will remember is a general haze of information, forgotten goals missed, and hours misspent. At the time of mindless, at the time of mindless consumption, you know, all of this is basically mindless consumption. It might feel like nothing's at stake, but these moments of distractions can bleed into days, weeks, months, and even years. You know, some people find they have been living in autopilot mode for as long as they can remember. Now the question is, what can we do about it? You know, now we know there is a problem, but what can we do about it? And the key point here is managing your awareness is the first step in taking back control. The first thing you need to do is start thinking of your attention as a precious commodity. After all, the very phrase paying attention suggests a valuable resource, which, like a bank account, can be depleted over time. When a well-disciplined mind focuses on a task, it's like a powerful flashlight, precise, bright, and brilliantly illuminating. A wandering and distracted mind, on the other hand, is like an old sputtering lamp, flickering, dull, and diffuse. So, you know, how do we sharpen our mental focus? It's really quite simple. We need to develop a greater awareness of how we are actually occupying our minds. Are the things we are paying attention to worth our time and energy? Or are they irrelevant, distracting, and superficial? You know, if you get into the habit of asking these questions, you can begin to catch yourself before you go down an information rabbit hole and before you succumb to the lure of news alerts, social media notifications, and easy but shallow entertainment. So, how do you find out if your attention needs tighter management? You know, well, you could try examining some of your habits. For example, do you really pay attention when you're talking to people? Do you listen attentively? Or are your interactions brief and shallow? And what about your productivity rate? Do you complete daunting projects easily? Or do you hop from one task to task, switching topics when you get bored or overwhelmed? If you are unhappy with your answer to these questions, you probably need to pay more attention to how you are occupying your mind. And once that's done, you can follow the advice that is to come in this episode. So tune in to what's paramount and disregard everything else. You know, let's just say you are out at a social gathering and you're trying to make a small talk. I would suggest, you know, you probably shouldn't open conversations with a deep, probing question like, what's the most important thing in your life? If you're lucky, you will get some interesting answers. But more likely than not, you will just trigger an awkward silence and some embarrassed laughs. Guys, the thing is, most people avoid answering this question even when they're alone with their own thoughts. They struggle to articulate their highest aims and their long-term dreams, a fact with some unfortunate consequences. So, you see, when you're unsure about where you're going, it's easy to wander off track and waste time, achieving very little. But when you identify your uppermost ambitions, everything suddenly becomes clearer. So the key point here is tune into what's paramount and disregard everything else. So in a world full of noise, anyone without clear goals and a defined plan of actions will find himself or herself blown off course pretty quickly. With distractions and temptations beckoning us every step of the way, we need to have our eyes fixed on a specific end goal in order to remain firmly on course. But what does that look like in real life? You know, you may have that question. I had that question when I was trying to gather my thoughts for this episode. Well, in short, it means streamlining your world. There's probably a lot in your life that doesn't accord with your long-term goals, like bad time management, wasteful habits, and sloppy planning. Tuning into what's important means identifying everything that's good and necessary in your life while getting rid of everything else. Simplicity is your watchword here. You want to select a few things of great importance. Not a large number that are of little importance. So the question, you know, I always put a question to myself as well, and then I try to address it. So falling based on this, you know, if simplicity is my watchword here, so how exactly do we go about simplifying our lives? One trick is to start writing. You know, writing really helps you articulate your thoughts. Setting things down on paper can help to crystallize your vision. Take the time to sit down and write out a list of your most important values and ambitions. Another strategy which a lot of people tend to follow, I've seen, is, you know, make yourself accountable to someone. Tell your partner, a close friend, or relative what your goals are and be as detailed and precise as you can. And, you know, the act of telling others what our goals are provides an added incentive to achieve them. We all want to appear well and determined in our loved ones' eyes. So why not turn that desire into a source of motivating by sharing your goals? That could be one way to do so. And, you know, there's one more, just a couple more things I would like to add in here is forming just a few new habits will make it easier to mute the noise in your life. So, you know, avoiding information overload might seem like a constant uphill battle, an internal slog that never gets any easier and grinds you down over time. But that's just not true, you know. Even though today's tech-heavy society might make things difficult for us, muting the world's buzz can actually grow less difficult with time. So, how do we do it, you know? It's always easy to say something can be done, but there needs to be some actionable advice. And you know, my suggestion is, you know, well, it all comes down to habit formation. I would say, you know, habits can be tricky to acquire, but once you get them to stick, they're usually there to stay. That means that by cultivating a few new behaviors, you can actually make time your friend, not your enemy. So again, the key point here is forming just a few habits will make it easier to mute the noise in your life. And one way that you can practice the habit of streamlining and simplifying your life is by starting with your possessions. You know, look around in your room, under the bed, and the back of your wardrobe. Do you really need everything that you see there? Probably not. You know, I'm sure we just like to keep things, collect things, but by throwing away anything you don't need, you're getting yourself used to decluttering. And after that, the transition from clearing out your home, you know, your house, your home, your room, to decluttering your mind feels like a very small one. Another habit you can develop is fairly straightforward. In fact, it consists of nothing more than minding your own business. You see, much of our precious attention is spent judging and pondering things that, you know, at the end of the day have nothing to do with us. So the next time you are in a group, notice how your mind starts to issue judgments, draw conclusions, and formulate irrelevant opinions. Take a second to ask yourself whether the things you are brooding over have any effect on you whatsoever. If they don't, dismiss them. Remember, guys, your attention is a precious commodity. Once you have dismissed your internal monologue, return your attention to the conversation at hand and practice active listening. That means listening closely in order to understand, not to agree, argue, or even come up with solutions. And it's just to listen. You know, if you take the time to develop a few simple habits like decluttering your life and minding your own business, you will be surprised by the amount of energy and attention it frees up. And what I like to add in one tip here, you know, I just came to my mind is you can actually practice meditation. Could be just a couple of minutes. You can start from as minimum as 5 minutes each day, whether at the start of the day or at the end of the day, halfway through your work, whatever works well for you. So, you know, you can basically meditation, it's practice where we can drown out noise with clarity and control. So, there are some good apps that you can see. Again, technology again has in this noisy world of technology, but there are good applications out there which can indeed help us. So one of them you should check out is called Headspace. The other is Calm. I have used both of them. I've enjoyed using Headspace more. Just a personal preference. And, you know, you can actually start to remove noise from your life by just practicing a little bit of meditation on a daily basis. And just before I go towards the conclusion of this episode, well, surprisingly, you know, I'm looking and it's about 24 minutes. Seems like when I don't do it in segments, keep it more free-flow conversation, we can shorten the length of these podcasts. Otherwise, recently I've been about 45 minutes, 46 minutes, because I have to structure in a way that can be segments. Well, I'm going to try out this this way for the next couple of episodes, and let's see where we go. And I think we are in almost towards the halfway mark of this season. You know, I'm actually trying to keep this podcast to about 10 episodes per season, and well, it seems like this is episode number 5. So thank you, you know, halfway through the podcast, I just realized this, and thank you so much, guys. You know, if you've been tuning in, some of you have messaged me, really grateful that you've been on this journey with me. Well, we have 5 more episodes to go, so let's get back to the last point that I actually have for this episode, where we are having a conversation on how we can get rid of noise in our lives. You know, the last point here is, you know, if you actually work on your communication skills, it can help keep a distractible audience focused. So work on your communication skills. So, you know, so far, at least for me and I think you would have agreed as well, the world has never been noisier. There have never been more demands on our attention and few ways to escape the constant distraction. You know, up till this point, I've only spoken about what you can do to control your own attention. But, you know, there's also ways you can use this information to deal with other people. So the question here, see, again, it's always a question and then I answer it. Question is, how do you adapt to a world in which people are perpetually distracted? How do you capture the attention of the inattentive? You may be wondering, is that even possible? You know, my key point is, honing your communication skills can help keep a distractible audience focused. So, you know, truly engaging an audience that's used to the speed and novelty of modern technology is difficult. Their minds often drift, and now and then they might even start typing away in front of you. But instead of being dismayed by your audience members, you need to adapt your message to them, taking care not to overlook their attention spans. The key to effective communication in an age of shrinking attention span is to be concise. You know, plain and simple. If your message comes sandwiched between a boring and meandering conclusion, your listeners will never distinguish it from the surrounding noise. So keep it short. If you catch yourself phrasing something in a roundabout or confusing way, stop short and say, in other words, and then rephrase it as simple as possible. Avoid jargon and business speak if you can. It signals to listeners that you are not trying to be understood. There are a few other ways to keep your audience engaged. One is calling people by name. Whether you actually ask an audience member to contribute or simply direct a comment toward a particular listener, naming people keeps listeners on their toes and engaged with whatever you are saying. Another simple tactic is to make use of intermissions. You know, have you noticed that people's eyes are glazing over you, or you have caught sight of a few yawns? Consider a 10-minute break. Giving people a chance to relax means they will be more likely to pay attention when you begin talking again. Well, guys, this has been my perspective on the noise around us. I'm actually going to go towards the conclusion and outro of this episode in the next segment. So stay tuned as we move towards concluding tonight's episode. I'll be right back with you. All right, guys. So, you know, let's conclude today's episode. So, my final thoughts to this for this episode is, you know, with so much information at our fingertips, it's easier than ever to be distracted. That means that in order to remain focused and productive, we need to become more aware of how we occupy our minds and cultivate some new helpful habits. You know, I always try to give some actionable advice, and I actually came across this while I was preparing for this episode. There is this thing called the 7-to-7 rule. You can adopt that. So, you know, if you ever find yourself reaching for your phone first thing in the morning and last thing at night, I think most of us would automatically check our phone if we have a few minutes to kill, right? Not anymore, you know. Don't do that. When you follow the 7-to-7 rule, you don't use your phone for any reason before 7 a.m. or after 7 p.m. That will give you the downtime when you need to disengage from digital distractions. Well, I read this rule, and I think it's quite effective. It may not be 7-to-7 for you. It could be 9-to-9 or 10-to-10, whatever it is. At least for my wife and I, what we do is, before we head to bed, we try to avoid using our phones. And she's actually been implementing it recently. When she gets up in the morning, because she is, her main focus is on the venture that we're doing, so it's a little more flexible. So if she sleeps in and she gets up, she doesn't check her phone immediately. And I've seen some amazing, you know, changes in her behavior. Is when she gets up after freshening up, we have breakfast, we've done our prayers, she only then, you know, she actually uses her phone. Previously, it was first thing in the morning while in bed using the phone, and you just start getting overwhelmed by information. And now, you know, when we have decided, okay, you know, it's about time, whatever time it is, and we're heading to bed, sometime before that, she stops using her phone. So, you know, not to overwhelm your mind, your brain. And if you do, you know, a lot of times we do come across things that affect us, and it just stays in our mind, and we are not able to sleep. So you can adopt this, you know, have your own rule. Only a certain hours after waking up, you will check your phone, and you know, certain hours prior to sleeping, you will stop using your phone. So that is, I think, a good rule that we all can adopt in our life. Well, guys, this is all for today's episode, where I was discussing on noise and distraction that is around us in our current day and age. So, you know, thank you so much for tuning in. Like I mentioned earlier, we are halfway through this season, 5 more episodes to go. If you're just joining this podcast at this stage, you know, guys, you can listen to all the previous episodes of this podcast. And every Tuesday, a blog post comes out. Do check it out as well on iumerkhan.com. And, you know, lastly, I would like to thank Anchor. I always do it because I think Anchor allows me to create all these amazing episodes which I can bring to you. So, guys, you know, if you want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram. My handle is iumerkhan91, or you can go to my website. Otherwise, you know, go to anchor.fm/iumerkhan. You can send me a voice note which I can feature in my podcast. And if there's anything that you really enjoy on this podcast, you know, put it up on your Facebook or Instagram and tag me. I would love to thank you personally. So, guys, till then, you know, take care. COVID is still around. If you have a chance, please do go for your vaccination. I got my first jab 2 days back. So the first 2 days were just a little bit of an arm sore, but, you know, it's worth it. So do get that done. And, you know, always stay safe. And I will see you again next Thursday for another episode on the Discover New Perspectives podcast. Till then, take care and good night.